Here.
Hello?
Have you checked the children?
They're all hot dogs.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Here's Gingy.
Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Gentlemen, I am pain.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
If you can't take a joke, he stinks.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Good evening, Flesh Wound Radio freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Radio. I am Dan, your horror man, joined as always by the quintessential stud muffin himself, Mr. Todd Loya. That was nice today, Todd. Little OG yeah. Joel Gertner for you. How goes it?
All goes well. How about yourself?
It's going. It's going pretty good, actually. I'm coming off of about a week removed from my trip to the Riverside Drive-In for April Ghoul's Monsterama, which was a blast. I finally got to see the Archive Vinegar Syndrome store, which was all kinds of awesome. If you guys, and forgive me, I forget where in Connecticut it is, but if you're down that way, you should absolutely go. Oh, my God, dude, that store is the shit. It is awesome. If you still collect old school VHS, if you still collect vinyl, new and used Blu-rays, DVDs, it's a really, really cool store. Drive-In and movie hunting, basically.
I'm glad this is not like our Vinegar Syndrome show, because Dan should tell you it's in Bridgeport, Connecticut, on 118 Congress Street. God damn it, Dan.
I don't pay attention to directions, Todd. I didn't remember. Yes, Bridgeport.
Remember Vinegar Syndrome. I did say the correct address.
Yet you didn't go to the store, though, Todd. So fuck you, Todd.
How are you? Yeah, so you can go to the store and not tell the address, so how does that help anyone else?
They can get on the Google, Todd. Those fancy things of yours. And, yeah. Get on the Google.
I know. I can't call you retarded anymore. Now you're just tech slow.
I'm tech slow, yes. Yes. Todd's been helping me out with different computer stuff and whatnot. It's like in that Alex Jones interview. I'm only kind of a little bit retarded. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little bit retarded, but I'm not all the way there. So... yeah, making shit happen. So, there you go. Science, bitches. I got to see Burial Ground, which was amazing on the drive-in screen. I got to see Mother's Day, which I haven't watched in a while, and forgot just how good the original Mother's Day was. Also made a lot of sense on the drive-in. Toxic Avenger, which every time I see that, I forget just how racist that movie is. Especially the
I think, Dan, you should say how politically incorrect. The movie's not racist.
Politically incorrect. It's not racist. Politically incorrect is the better word.
That's why I said it.
It was a different time. That was a lot of fun.
I don't even think that. I don't even say that. They knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Toxic Avenger is hilarious. I mean, the comedic timing in that. It was funny because I was talking to a bunch of people that weekend, but there were a couple who hadn't seen Toxic Avenger, just not trauma fans in general, and they were surprised how funny it was. So that movie can win people over that aren't in just maybe not into the typical trauma gore dick fart jokes. That movie's actually, I think, really good. But I will say just something about being at a drive-in where it's a little bit rainy at the time and watching the fog, that is the mood for that one is just amazing. Another film, we forget just how good it was. I think actually, I don't want to put him on record here, but I'm pretty sure he said it, and our good friend Chris McGibbon, I believe, now considers that his favorite Carpenter film.
Which one?
Which one? The Fog.
No, he said that for quite a while. I know he said it again, but I've always thought he said that. I mean, unless he just finally solidified it, it's like a question. But he said quite a few times it's his favorite, so. But he told me the same thing, too, so I was kind of confused.
Okay. I don't know if he's ever been. I mean, for me, it's still got to be The Thing, but.
Yeah, honestly, but, I think The Fog's one of his weaker entries.
Really? You know, I used to think that as a kid, and I don't know why. I mean, I liked it, but I never thought it was, like, on par with some of his other stuff. But watching it again, I still think that's a great movie.
I'm not saying that, but I still think it's one of his weaker ones.
What's your favorite? I assume Halloween, but maybe I'm wrong. I can't remember.
No, that's the obvious answer. I think I'm with The Thing also. I think The Thing's a better movie.
Yeah. I really... The Thing, to me, is pretty damn close, if not a perfect film. I think it holds up perfectly today. I mean, even if the remake, well, the that thing is the remake, of course, but the most recent remake had been better, I don't think it could have ever have gotten close to that one.
Which one?
That's just one of those movies. The most recent Thing remake.
The prequel?
The prequel. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Todd. I can't fucking.
Well, no, I thought
memorable.
You were talking about The Fog. You're very confusing.
No. No, well, The Fog remake was a special kind of trash. No, The Thing.
Oh, I know that.
The most
remake. You threw me off when you said the remake because it's not a remake.
I know it's not a remake. Yeah, you're correct. I stand corrected. But that was not anywhere close. So.
Oh, no,
yeah,
not at all.
I would say The Thing.
I was entertained by it. It was a cool little thing, but it wasn't anything I ever feel the need to really watch again.
Yeah, different kind of movie, but Big Trouble in Little China is pretty badass, too. Is The Rock still starring in the reboot or whatever it is?
I don't
know
if he is or he's just producing or what.
It's not a bad vehicle for him, but...
Well, they said it's in the
know.
Same universe, so it's not like he's not... If he is in it, he's not going to be playing Jack Burton.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it'd be interesting. It'd actually be interesting to see Kurt Russell in it.
That's the hope by a lot of people when they said that. I'm not holding my breath on it, but it would be really cool. I don't know. With all these, with the trend now, it could actually happen. If they could keep that secret and just, like, let it happen, that'd be pretty fucking awesome.
Just have them pop up. That would be cool. I know a lot. I mean, this is now years, so obviously I'm assuming it's dead. But wasn't Gerard Butler attached to an Escape from New York reboot at one point?
I remember something of forever ago, but yeah, whatever, it was canceled.
Yeah. I'm expecting that, too, at some point. But, yeah, very hard, but I'm going with The Thing. For me, I can't put anything he's done above it.
Yeah, that one's hard.
Yeah, Creepshow, of course, that's always amazing. I still like, I know Chris and a lot of people prefer the sequel, but I still got to go with the first one.
I think that's a lower number. I think there is a smaller thing. I don't think I think out of the two, Creepshow is the one that's favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Creepshow 2, but all right, it's still the original for me. It was an awesome Blood Beach. That was certainly fun. Not a great film, but fun to see at the drive-in. And just good people. It's just a horror hub there. I finally got to see the George Romero bust at Monroeville Mall, and it was a good time. Lots of good people. God, we were all over the place. Ides was another cool store we go to, and think technically it's still outside of Pittsburgh, but that's like a four-level store. So do you guys ever go out that way for this drive-in event or just in general? There's a lot to do. I mean, just a ton up there. So I highly recommend it. And I know they have some other drive-in events. I know there's one in September, a lot of Hammer horror stuff. The April one's kind of like 70s and 80s stuff for the most part. And then they do kind of like older classic horror in September. So, yes, highly recommend it. Check that out. And that's all I got for that. We don't really have any news, but I did want to mention one brief thing. We are finally getting The Collector 3, which was a pleasant surprise. I kind of thought enough time had passed now that we were just ending it at 2, but what do you think of that one, Todd? I'm excited.
Very cool. I hadn't actually heard about it till just now, so...
you didn't? Okay. Well, there you go.
No, I missed that news. So, yeah, I look forward to it. I am a fan of those films.
I'm kind of curious at this point if it's going direct to disc or not. I hope not. That was a weird movie because it felt like the first one didn't play a lot of places. I was very lucky to get it, and I know a lot of people didn't. Then we got a theatrical sequel, and it was very surprising. I thought the last one was really strong and didn't end definitively there. So hopefully Josh Stewart's back. I actually kind of want to see more of him going toe-to-toe with The Collector. But yeah, that is on the way. And that's all I've got, Todd. Did I miss anything?
Probably, but we'll just let it slide.
All right. As long as nobody croaked. Don't want to diss anybody. All right. So I guess we can kick it off just since it's the last movie I watched and I'm pretty eager to,
Talk
about it. Yeah. Well, which would you like to do first?
No, that's fine. It's always what Dan watched last. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, then it's fine.
I'm just busting your balls, Dan.
All right, so extremely wicked and shockingly evil and vile, the Netflix movie that follows, not about Ted Bundy, but rather his girlfriend's point of view during his capture and trial. His girlfriend Liz, I should say. All right, so I'm very curious to talk about this one, actually, because I know it's getting...
Just get it out now.
Just get what out?
Just get it out.
You know what I'm going to say.
No, I know what you're going to say about one person.
I have no idea what you think.
The person, a specific actor is in this movie, so just get it out.
Zac Efron, who plays Ted Bundy.
Really? Because you constantly go on and on about how Zac Efron looks.
What do you mean? He looks. He actually looked.
Oh my God, Dan.
Close.
Okay.
To Bundy.
Just. I'm not talking about him. We'll get to it eventually. I'll just let it be.
Oh. Okay. Yes, we will get to it because I think now I know what you're going with.
What do I know? What am I talking about?
I'm a little bit retarded, Todd. You got to bear with me here. I don't read minds. So, you're talking about a surprise actor that pops up.
Well, I wouldn't call him a surprise. He's not a run-in.
Well, no, he's not a run-in. I didn't know about it. So, yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. I will get there, Todd. But first, since he is just a side player. All right, so Zac Efron is Ted Bundy first and foremost. So this movie going in, I knew this was, basically a courtroom drama / romance at times, I guess we can say. So I knew we weren't getting Bundy killing people. In fact, you don't see him kill anybody. It's just, it's a courtroom drama. So I knew that going in. Not going to judge the movie for something it's not or was never advertised to be. All right, so Zac Efron looked the part. And he did a pretty good job. I'll be honest, the first half or so, I really was kind of feeling Lifetime / Hallmark thriller to me a little bit. But then kind of later in particular when he got some of the more powerful scenes, particularly the towards the end, which is the one part that they potentially embellish a little bit. He really had some good moments. So I will say, High School Musical, Zac Efron, I know a lot of people were bitching, but he looked the part and he did a pretty solid job. It's not actually my favorite portrayal of Bundy, to be honest, but good job. A lot of times during this movie for me, I really felt like I would like to watch the documentary again. This is a pretty good companion piece, but I think having watched that, it's pretty much just that. I mean, like I said, they do embellish something towards the end a little bit.
Well, but here's the thing about that, and I've heard that complaint a few times. It's like fucking someone said, "Oh, it's based off the documentary." I'm like, no, it's based off the case. It's technically based off their book. But I'm like,
sure,
you've basically seen everything there is about it. So, yeah, it's all going to be familiar because you, watched the documentary.
Sure.
So I think that's hard to hold it against it.
No, I'm not holding it against it. It's just,
I know you weren't, but I'm just saying in general, that seems to be one of the issues with it.
This movie was just solid for me. It didn't kick my ass. I am curious, did anybody, the drawing scene, I guess I should say, since it's the only thing I shouldn't give away, was it ever said that happened, or was that the embellished?
I don't know.
At the end. Okay, so that's interesting. I don't want to talk if I don't know if she ever said that that's something he did.
Oh, you mean
I
haven't read the book, so I don't know. See, that's the thing. Saying it was embellished, you don't know because you haven't read the source material.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and of course, nobody was in the room, so who knows? But
could she have embellished? Absolutely, but
sure. It's pretty fascinating. I actually at times wanted to see more. With the crazy chick he had a kid with, Carol.
Oh, yeah.
That I believe she's. I don't think anybody knows where she is or what she's up to. Can you fucking imagine if you found out that you were Ted Bundy's kid? I mean, like, that has got to fuck with someone.
Or you're like, hell yeah, if you're a weirdo like one of us.
You found out you're... Well, no, the timeline wouldn't make sense for you.
Unfortunately, it does not.
Could it for me? No, I don't think so for me either. I'm not sure exactly. Well, no, he was executed in... I don't know. Well, I don't think I'm Ted Bundy's kid, so... So it's all good.
If you were,
yeah, now, watching it, it was... I'll tell you what ruined the movie, though, in a minute.
Okay,
what?
Go ahead. What ruined it?
All right, so what kills the movie for me... Zac Efron has a few creepy moments, but in all honesty, and I kind of get why some people are pissed. In a sense, yes. In a sense, no. The only creepy moments you get are some of the photos shown, and you know, just some of Liz's reactions to certain things. For the most part, they are portraying this, and I don't know, maybe that's where that rumor started, that this one was taking it as though he was innocent. But there's really not a lot of opportunities for him to really get under your skin. So I feel like a lot of horror fans are going to have those issues with this. I haven't really looked at a lot of reaction, but yeah, it's not a skin crawl kind of serial killer movie. Now, having said that, what killed it for me, any creep factor it might have had for Zac Efron was completely ruined when that shit-stained mongoloid Haley Joel Osment showed up.
Here we go.
All right, so I'm going to say it right now. The victims could not have suffered as much as Haley Joel Osment stooping a girl. That poor girl, I know it's not real, but the image of that is far worse than the crime scene photos. That is fucked up. That dude looks like oh my God, dude.
If you haven't figured it out, Dan has some weird obsession with him. I say that over and over. Dan just
like the rape scene in Hills Have Eyes 2, the sequel to the remake. That is what it looks like, I think, when Haley Joel Osment has sex. I think he's got the same O face as the mutant in that scene. That dude is haunting, dude. Could you actually watch him fuck in a porno movie?
I
hottest girl in your wildest imagination.
Then, yeah.
Could you watch it?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not like all fucking weird about it like you.
I'm not weird about it, dude. That guy has got...
You're totally weird about
it.
Like, you have an odd obsession about how he's like, I don't know. Were you accidentally sodomized by Haley Joel Osment? Were you touched during Sixth Sense?
I was older than the motherfucker, I think. How would that have happened, Todd? That makes no sense. Yeah,
I said, were you touched while you were watching Sixth Sense?
Touched emotionally, or
Michael
Jackson touched?
Michael Jackson.
Allegedly. Allegedly. No, neither.
Sure. It's not a repressed memory.
I'm quite sure. No, I don't think so. I don't know. Did Bruce Willis get me or something? Make me rub his other bald head? I don't think so. Maybe
I know
he
wants movies.
Oh. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I don't think I have any Sixth Sense stories. I had that movie figured out, really, so it just was never... I liked it, but I don't know. That was one of those movies I didn't get the hype. But he didn't turn into the fucking mutant from Hills Have Eyes 2 until he grew up. So... Yeah, I don't know.
I just
embellish and make him innocent. Go with that gimmick and have Haley Joel Osment be the one that was killing all the women. That would have made this stand out.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I need to hear from our listeners. Is Dan right about Haley Joel, or is he just overreacting? Because I think he has a weird obsession about him. You think that, but you don't know.
If Haley Joel Osment porked Brink Stevens, I don't think I could commingle with whatever like demon jizz he popped into her. I could not. Could not. Too weird.
Yeah, you could.
That would be a tough one. I don't think I could get more than a half chub even for Brink Stevens, knowing that shit-stained mongoloid had to go before me. But
I'm still calling blinds, but okay, we'll just pretend.
I don't want to catch demon herpes, Todd. I mean, come on. You don't know. But anyways, that aside, solid. This movie just isn't going to blow your mind. I kind of was watching it and would have just preferred to have been watching an actual doc. But it does have a few really good moments. The portion with him and her at the end I thought was quite good. And I would say John Malkovich was a bit off. I don't know. There was something like I didn't quite feel him as the judge. I think they took that dialogue, all of it, like directly from the trial, and I don't know, it just didn't feel right coming from him for some reason. I don't know, it felt like he just wasn't the country bumpkin type that the actual judge was. But yes, amazing story.
I get that.
You know, the guy escaped from prison twice. I mean, it is quite the amazing story, but if you don't know anything about Bundy, I wouldn't let this one pop your cherry, to be honest. Go watch the most recent doc, which is to me.
Go watch Bundy. That's a personal favorite for me.
Yes, I've not put that on in a while, but that is a great, great movie. I do, if I recall, though. Didn't that one embellish a lot?
Yes, it
did. I could be wrong. It's worth the read. Yeah, I was going to say there was like a lot of bullshit in that one, if I remember.
I know about a lot. There was definitely some. It wasn't like as bad as like the Night Stalkers, any of the Night Stalkers, which I still don't get how they can't like do that right, considering it has an awesome real life ending.
Oh, yeah. No, that. Those wave of serial killer movies, a lot of them weren't great. I always throw out, and there is a rated and unrated version, so you want the unrated, but Hillside Strangler with C. Thomas Howell.
Yes, let's go cruising.
One that I, yes, that was that was really good. C. Thomas Howell is a fucking amazing actor. I know he's mostly
Soul Man Forever.
Crap. Yeah. The movie that we will never get again.
God, you know what? That's ever. Our next commentary. We will be doing a commentary for that one for sure now, with plugs. Dan's nightmare has just been created.
No. No.
I'll do that one without you if we have to. Oh, it's happening. It's done.
Oh, fuck. All right.
Plugs
is
off. We'll be doing that one this week.
I'm not. I will step in.
Dan
for
will
it.
Protest the whole time.
Oh God, that movie. Yes, I mean, and what's funny is that's a PG-13 movie, and you would have a better chance of getting the new cut coming out of the new director's cut of a Serbian film on 10,000 screens across the country than you would seeing Soul Man. Literally. Newborn porn fucking will happen before you could anybody would play Soul Man, and that's a PG-13 movie. So if you're listening, yeah, check that out. No way that's
happening.
I
disagree with that. Soul Man's
a classic. They would never play Soul Man. It is. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that movie would never happen.
Oh, it would never happen.
They would not play it anywhere.
Oh, I can see it getting played. at the festival screenings and stuff like that, they're not going to care.
Oh, something like that, yeah. But I'm saying you're not going to get some bad event, Soul Man.
Yeah, we're not going to get a 40th anniversary at AMC screening like they did Batman.
No, not happening. So,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, before we rate this one, I have to ask, what do you think about the controversy of kind of portraying him as a romantic figure? I call bullshit because, unfortunately, as we saw, a lot of chicks want to bang serial killers. I mean, it is what it is.
I had no issue with it.
Creepy. Weird. But, yeah, I didn't think this one was disrespectful to any of the victims or anything. So
no, I didn't either.
So, yeah. So what do you rate it, Todd?
I give it a 3. It was entertaining.
Okay. I'm a 2.5. I mean, hey, you have Netflix. If you're into true crime, I mean, you're definitely going to watch it. But just don't expect your mind to be blown. Yeah. All right. So that's extremely wicked and shockingly evil and vile. Moving on to our next film for the evening. Well, Todd, do we want to do Into the Dark at the end? I guess we will. Let's do a Andy Sidaris film.
No, that's After Dark.
Does it qualify? All right, that's fine.
We literally talked about that on our pre-show.
I don't listen to you, Todd. Slightly retarded, Todd. Remember. Remember, you can't mock the handicap, Todd. Don't make me write a fucking letter, Todd. You're going to get picketed at UW.
I was in a pool!
Just because.
Okay. Just because. All right. So, all right. Let's follow up that with I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu. A.K.A. Day of the Woman, Deja Vu. All right, so this is a sequel, a direct sequel to the original film, and the 1978 I Spit on Your Grave. And also written and directed by Meir Zarki, can never say his name. Jennifer Hills is back. 40 years after 1978's I Spit on Your Grave shocked the world with its story of a beautiful career woman assaulted and left for dead and her notorious revenge on those responsible, cinema's most lethal lady vengeance returns in the most anticipated sequel of all time. Reuniting star Camille Keaton and the original director, I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu sends now successful writer Jennifer Hills hurtling back to where it all began to face the wrath of the families of those she murdered. Kidnapped along with her daughter, Christy, it's a tense game of hunt or be hunted against a ruthless gang of degenerates overseen by a violently unhinged matriarch, Becky, played by Maria Olson. Some grudges refuse to be buried. All right, so I think we're going to spend some time on this one because there's a lot to talk about. all right, so... Truth be told, I mean, of course, I love the original I Spit on Your Grave. That's an all-time classic. I've always loved that film. I thought the remake was pretty damn good, too. First one I thought was super intense. That movie, in some ways, at times, almost made me just as uncomfortable, if not more, than the original. Although I still... put the original at the top, but
yeah, because that one's definitely intense. That one's definitely I Saw on Your Grave.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I know a couple of my beefs with that too is there were a few ways that she took those guys out that just was very hard to swallow that she could
unintended
take out, you know. Yes, very. Pun intended. But overall, I thought they did a pretty damn good job. So when I heard about this, big shoes to fill, you know. living up to either of those. God, where to start? All right, so the biggest problem, first and foremost, this movie is 2.5 hours. Oh, I don't know what happened there. I don't know at some point if we're going to get a different cut of this, because this is a BDR. So if you order it on Amazon, that's what you're getting. Not that the quality's any different or anything, but 2.5 hours. There is not 2.5 hours to fill in this concept. I was half expecting fucking Saruman from Lord of the Rings to pop up and fuck Camille Keaton in the ass or something. It's way too fucking long. Maybe if that happened, I would have said, all right, maybe I can watch 2.5 hours of this. But it's not Lord of the Rings. It's a rape revenge thriller. That those movies, I mean, when done right, holy shit, do they work. And they work really well. But there's not enough story to cram into that. I've got a lot to say, but I'm going to tag you in, Todd. What do you think? Because I got a lot more to say about this one.
Well, yeah, you pretty much nailed it. Yeah, it's... And it's one of those things, I like the cast, it just overstays its welcome. There's so much stuff. I get it, a director falls in love with everything he shoots, but this wasn't fucking...
I know those.
This wasn't endgame of the fucking rape revenge genre. It was a half hour shy of being the length, and yeah.
Which Avenger is Krug?
Well, he's got to be Iron Man.
I was going to say, I'm picturing, like, Kevin Gage as Captain America, and they're all, like,
oh, yeah.
That scene where they're all, like, standing together. I don't know who Thanos would be. Maybe Camille Keaton. I don't know.
Yeah, I think. Damn it, now I just got to figure out who Hulk is. Oh, wait. Bunny.
Who?
Bunny.
Oh! I can see that.
Well, you find another rapey creature, and then we'll talk.
Bunny killer thing. Yes, that is true. Holy shit. I know I got to review this movie, but now I'm picturing like who qualifies for the rape Avengers. That's what we'll call it.
We'll figure that one out later.
Yes, that's never going to happen. Much like Soul Man, it's just not going to happen. But anyways, yeah, you were saying, Todd.
Oh, you threw me off. I got sidetracked with the rape Avengers. I don't know. Write it down. Oh, no. Jodie Foster would have to be Thanos just to make Bugs happy. Cut this an hour down, and I think there's a good movie in there. But right now, as it is, it's a lot of just waiting, and it takes really an hour before it starts getting going. And there's information in that first hour, but I mean, if all that was tightened up and then tightened up later, it's just that first hour drags so much. It's just, it really hurts the film.
Yes. I mean, it's weird. I mean, there are scenes all over the place here. I mean, that sounds like a lot, like an hour, but Todd is not exaggerating. I mean, you could literally cut it down about that long without even trying, not losing anything. I mean, there are some twists and turns in this, but again, it's not 2.5 hours worth of story. I do have some things to compliment. I mean, this movie's a little uneven at times. There's a lot going on. The acting is not horrible, Maria Olson, she's kind of like the female Bill Oberst, who she's like one of the better actors that you can get on a budget. She's always good. And she's pretty good here. She has a few moments where she's great, and then other moments where I think some of the script, some of the dialogue betrays her a little bit. But I did enjoy her. I enjoyed the daughter. I thought she was solid.
Yes, I agree.
Again, I would put her below Sarah Butler from the remake and also, of course, below Camille Keaton. So truthfully, I don't know if it's because she hasn't acted all that often lately, but Camille was a little here and there.
She was, you know, honestly, though, if you go back and rewatch the original, which I did do, she's not the greatest actress in that either. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact she has...
Mm-hmm.
I think hides a lot. But
yeah, a great movie can disguise a so-so actor. I mean, that is true. I've seen that before. I did. I just had to point that out. There were times where she was a little wooden. There are at least a handful of good to great moments in this. I like the scene. There's one kill scene in particular that I thought was pretty good. It's the trailer looked god awful, to be perfectly honest. I would not say this movie's god awful, but when I rate it as a whole, it's just, man, 2.5 hours. Yeah, it is. I think a lot of these Marvel movies are too long, to be perfectly honest. Again, I'm not the biggest mark for those anyways, but I think a lot of those don't need to be, you know, 2.5, 3 hours either, but this definitely doesn't. And I don't know that anything in here – I enjoyed the one, of course, I spit on your grave, so we get some testicular trauma. I thought that was actually pretty funny, the way they did that bit with the one guy not quite registering right away. I did pop for that. But overall, there were times where it came off a little goofy when it shouldn't have. Todd, you did point out that they never actually say when the original is taking place, but even then, if you just look at how Camille Keaton has aged, there's still some timeline issues. I mean, you have to say this is at least, 30 years, just going by the aging. So there's a little
bit of 30 years
there,
is fine. So. I mean, the daughter could be 30s. I mean, if you really want to fudge it, there's probably like a 4-year off, and... Do you know what I mean?
It's not so bad that you can't suspend your disbelief a little bit. I mean, there's worse offenders on that front. But, I cannot see most fans of the original or even, again, the remake really liking this one very much. But I do feel, with an edit, this could be elevated as passable. Not great. I don't think there's a mind-blowing film here, even cutting it down. But I do think it would be passable entertainment if they did that. I can't quite see there being an I Spit on Your Grave 3. But then again, who the hell knows? I hate to say, I would much rather do another one for the remake than this, to be perfectly honest. I think they did a better job. This one's tough. I have to rate it for what it is, and it's a chore to sit through because of the length. So I give it a 1. And that's just because of some of the performances were really good, and there were a couple gore moments, but sitting through 2.5 hours for the good that we did get here, it's just unacceptable. Gets a 1 for me.
I'm going to be a little kinder. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 1.5. rating it on what it is. But like, you know, Dan's already mentioned, an edit could tighten this up. Like, one thing we have not done, and we probably should do it, and that is go back and review another horrible movie that finally got a legitimate release, and that is Toolbox Murders 2. See if any editing ever fixed
that. Oh, yeah,
that
is true. Yeah, they put out that unofficial copy. Again, I knew somebody who, at least initially, was involved in the effects for that one. And I know when we reviewed that, there was like, she kind of pleaded. It's like, no, this is not what the final movie is. But I'll be honest, I haven't watched the Scream Factory Blu-ray for that one. So
me neither.
Revisit it. So yeah. Oh, and I also to throw out there, there is a documentary out, Growing Up, I Spit on Your Grave, which you'll probably get a lot more enjoyment out of that one.
I watched it and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes. So, yeah, that is a plus. Both of these, again, MOD on Amazon. I guess, you know, they got the rights back, so that's unfortunately how you your only options, and the doc is a DVD-R. I'm not sure on streaming. Is it still standard def on streaming?
Not the original, yes.
Because I assume it would. Okay, so yeah. So basically, if you have I Spit on Your Grave on Blu-ray, definitely the original, which is out again too, definitely no reason to toss that for the new version. All right, so... so there we go. I was hoping for more from this. Oh, again,
I know
it was pretty bad.
You knew going in.
I kind of did, but then I was like, you know what? Maybe this one will surprise me, because I do like Maria Olson a lot. I also kind of thought it was interesting when Maria Olson started to get handsy. In this one, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, you were.
And titties.
I know you were fucking. You were squeezing one out. You don't need to tell me.
Fucking A. I was hot and bothered when we saw her pop up at the Universal Exorcist show.
Yes, yeah, she's lucky. Dan was on his best behavior.
I want to smack those titties with the Bible and tell them to repent.
But yet you won't bang.
Wickedness.
I was gonna say, yet you won't bang Betty White anyway. Are you gonna go see Palms?
See what?
Palms, PLMS.
Refresh me on what that is.
Well, I'll just say this, listeners: Dan's gonna definitely go see Palms this week. Okay, that's it.
But what is it? Why am I automatically seeing it? Now I got to know what it is, Todd.
Well, now you have something to look up after the show.
What is it? God damn it, Todd. Well, I was going to say, should we take our break now?
That's just because you want to go look it up.
Of course it is. God damn it.
I'll let you go look it up. Yeah, we can take our break now since I'm you know, we've only done
before
2.
Before we hit our...
But I guess. Now let's do one more and then come back with After Dark, if you can, unless you're trying to give me bad code.
All right, that's cool if you want to do Into the Dark. Okay.
Yes, let's.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're doing spoilers. Are we doing spoilers? I'm sorry.
I don't think we need to spoil that one.
Okay, then we'll do it now.
So, yeah, we could do it now. All right, so. The latest I hate to say again, edition. It's basically they're all movies, but the latest edition of Into the Dark recently went up on Hulu. All That We Destroy, from director Chelsea Stardust, this one is basically a science fiction entry into the series, which I know Todd, not the biggest sci-fi guy. So this one follows a young man named Spencer, who has a who's a sociopath. He can't help himself. He just has to kill women. And his mother, through an experimental program, is essentially trying to find a way to cure him of his serial killer tendencies, even if that involves killing a girl over and over again. I do apologize. Again, this is I don't have a synopsis, but I think I kind of nailed it there. Basically a sci-fi, in a way you could say a sci-fi Groundhog Day thing. Sort of. Not really, I guess.
Well, which is also ironic. And why is that ironic, Dan?
That is the holiday?
No, it's Mother's Day. But why is the Groundhog Day thing?
Oh.
Do you not know why it is?
I don't know, Todd. Why?
Dan, you're just showing your tardy today. Israel Broussard is the lead in this one, who is in another Groundhog Day type film. Come on. Let's do it.
Oh, Happy Death Day. Okay, there
Thank
you go.
Thank
you. There you
I know.
Go.
I'm just busting your balls because that's what I do.
Yeah, there you go. I was starting to think, I was like, are you saying he was a kid and was there a kid in Groundhog? I haven't watched Groundhog Day in forever. I should watch
it. You should. It's on 4K.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, okay. I might, yeah, that did. I did see that pop up. Maybe that's
and it comes with the digital code.
Oh, there you go. I'll have to check that out again. But yeah, so what did you think? I know you're not a sci-fi guy. What did you think of this one?
I think Pookie has moved up on the list.
Pooka, get the goddamn name right.
Whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah, this one I was just not into at all. Shocker, I know.
No, I knew.
I knew you knew. Yeah, it just, I don't know, the last couple, what was our last one?
The last one.
Oh, no, the last one was fucking awesome. It was the one before the woman's one that was okay.
Yeah, all in all as a whole, I still think it's been a pretty well-done series.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, there's only one that I would truly say that I didn't like, but overall, I happen to really enjoy it. This one is just fairly, it's like a so-so episode of like the 90s Outer Limits reboot. It's just like an okay episode of that. I am a sci-fi fan, so by all means, like I have no issues with the science fiction story. This one is very predictable. I knew exactly how that the ending is so fucking obvious. It's sad.
Yeah.
The performances are good. It brings nothing new to the table. This is another one that this one would have played better as a short episode, like a 30 minute or at most 45 minute there just wasn't a lot of material here. I wasn't all that engaged. I called the ending so early on. I think most of you will too. It's just, forgettable. I doubt I'll even remember much about this episode in a month, other than it's just, yeah. I don't have a whole lot to say about this one. It was a bit of a letdown. Do we know yet what the next one is? I know you follow ahead of time more than I do. What would we have next? I guess we have...
No, I will tell you right now if you give me 1 second.
July 4th, Kristen, because I know that, obviously.
Well, next one's June. What do we have in June?
Well, fuck, I should know that off the top of my head.
You should.
Well, yeah.
Like absolutely know.
Father's Day is what I'm assuming. I mean, I can't quite see.
The next episode is they Come Knocking.
Okay. I mean, for those of you who haven't, like, gotten into this series yet, sometimes the holiday is not a major part of the episode anyways. So
it's more of a background.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of a gimmick, but... yeah, I don't know. Maybe for July 4th we'll get an Uncle Sam slasher type thing, but I don't know. I'm expecting. You know, have we had a period piece yet? I'm trying to remember.
No, we haven't.
We haven't actually. That actually, I'd be kind of curious to see at some point. So I think we've had everything in modern times. I'd like to see them. Go back and tell a period piece. So, yeah, as it stands, I probably like this a little bit more than the YouTube one. Can't remember the name of it, but other than that, yeah, those are like the two.
The YouTube one?
Good. The one with the social media chick.
Okay.
My memory shit. I can't remember. But, yeah, that one I would still say is my least favorite. That was fucking for me.
I see. That was the one me and Pugs both disagreed on. We both really liked that one. But Dan doesn't understand social media, so it's like fire to him, so he's, like, scared of it.
Fuck you, Todd. Yeah, it can be. I pissed some people off today with my teen mom rant. I got an angry PM about it. That white
Didn't
trash you... asshole that, like, killed a dog. And my initial post was a lot worse. I'll be honest. Some of the shit I said was, although I meant every word of it, again, these reality show white trash assholes. But not always white trash. I mean, we have the Kardashians. They're just trash, but...
they're Armenian trash. Get it right.
Armenian trash, yeah.
But now Dan's
reality
racist.
Reality shows are the
that.
Worst thing.
Jesus, Dan.
You... I what? Repeated you. Fuck you, Todd. God damn it. Yeah, no, God. I was so mad. I just... We celebrate fucktards in this country, and it's really, really sad. I hope that guy that killed the dog gets raped in prison until his fucking asshole collapses. I have no problem saying that. Fuck that piece of shit.
I'll be nice. I don't even have to say get off my lawn on this one, because it's well deserved.
You're telling me... Seriously, you don't have a beef with this mom bullshit?
No. I'm saying I agree with you. I'm saying this is what I don't have to say. Get off my lawn.
Oh, okay. They're good. And I will say it's all of the reality shows. There was one when I was in West Virginia, The Wild Wonderful Whites or something like that, but I don't know. Somebody, a friend at the time was like, oh, are you going to go see, I guess one of them was like at a local strip club. And I'm like, why would I want to see some meth head asshole? Why would I want to meet that person? I mean, it's just, yeah, but people kind of deify these, I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, I just like to watch the train wreck. And I'm just like, no, no. Unless one of them, unless some of these people are taking it up the ass in a porno, I don't care. There are some trashy fucking reality shows. Kardashians do far more worse for the youth than horror movies. Anybody talks about fucking horror movies can suck my balls.
Now you're getting
well,
a bit.
Not all of you. Preachy, are you saying I should step off the soapbox?
No, but not everyone's going to agree with you. Because people will cite that the Kardashians also do good. I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to defend them. But, yeah, and you're getting, yeah. It's a pop culture thing.
Well, if you have a gazillion dollars, of course you're going to go to some charity shit. But, no, I'm sorry. They do a lot.
Okay.
Bad.
But that's, again, you watch Ms. and Mrs. and you're like, it's just like a sitcom. That's how that is to people that watch it.
Do they have, well, number one, that is a sitcom. But do they, are they a bad example?
It's a reality show, Dan. It's no different.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm just saying. Well, I will say that that West Virginia, those, that,
oh,
they
no,
are
I'm
like
agreeing
legit.
With, I'm agreeing with that, but I'm saying have, don't blanket them all. You're going to alienate people.
All right. Fair enough there, but I almost don't even care. That I consider a sitcom. I'm not even going to call that a reality
but
show.
It's
but
it's not. It's a reality
technically
show.
Technically. All right.
It's like
enough
every other
right
one,
so
they're all worked.
Yeah. Well, two different. Yeah, they're all worked, but to differing degrees. Killing that dog was not worked. So that's my only thing. It's just. Although I will say they fired them. So kudos for that. At least they fired them. You know, when that that Honey Boo Boo mother, whatever she was, started like dating that pedophile, she got fired too. So at least there's a slither of morality. It's not quite Running Man yet. I think we're very close to Running Man, but not quite yet. And on that note, why don't we take our break?
All right, let's get some running. All right, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
I only know
sweet,
what it
sweet
does. It hurts.
I'm
And we are back. Dan, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, always good hearing that. Lemmy, Hall of Fame, 2020, Celebrity Wing, make it happen, please.
Absolutely.
Should happen. If you're going to have it, at least put the ones in that really make a lot of sense. So, we are back, and I'm very excited because we have talked about Andy Sidaris, but we've never actually reviewed an Andy Sidaris film, from what I recall.
Wait.
I know we have.
Here we go.
What?
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Yes. Sexy.
And welcome to Flesh Wound After Dark, the show Dan cannot seem to figure out how to announce when we play the theme. And welcome.
I did talk over the damn thing.
You said, hello, sexy voice. How's that introing a show?
I'm sure there's a pair of panties that are very wet.
Oh, wait.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to give you a shot at redemption.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Hello, ladies. Prepare yourself to be sexified by the fiends of Flesh Wound Radio. There you go. How's that, Todd? Panties are wet.
We finally got one.
There you go.
Okay.
I was going to say, someone's flicking the bean as we speak. And if you are,
yep.
I would like to know about it. You can hit me up.
Yep.
Send me the video.
I was going to say something highly inappropriate, so I will just continue on with our show.
I would still be flattered, Todd, if there's other appendages. I mean, you know, hey.
Well,
I'm
baby,
sure,
me so horny. Me so horny.
You keep lying.
Me love you long time.
I'm not going to pay for it. No sucky, sucky $10. Not going to happen.
Me sucky, sucky.
And it's not $10.
I have $3.74. Do something to me.
Calm down, Dan.
What a cheap bastard. You're going to throw change on the end of that?
Hell yeah.
Holy shit. Goddamn, we're going to the strip club, Todd, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you're throwing 73 cents at one of those dancers, you're going to get
quarters.
Like, that's fucked up. That's fucked up, Todd. Are you seriously throw fucking change?
No, but now
that
I want to.
That is some West Virginia bullshit right there, Todd. Holy crap. I was going to say, that's almost worse than throwing, like, food stamps at chicks. I mean, that's fucked up. You're going to show you their cooter, and you're going to throw a fucking dime at them?
Seems right.
Harder to pick up. There is a strategy there. Takes more time. So there you go. There you go. Maybe Todd's thought this out, sly bastard. All right. So with that being said, God, we are definitely going. We got to get some of the talent though to go with us. I want this to be like a big, I don't know. I don't know which ones are married and which ones would get heat going, but it has to happen.
Well, there is that thing I was talking to you about. If we can make that happen.
Mud wrestling? I thought that was defunct.
No. I can't really talk about it on the show, but I told you, you're like, make sure you do it or did I tell you that? I might have told you something else. Well, I don't know. Whatever. We're not talking about
it. I don't think you told me. Okay. Yeah.
I think I did.
We will. I don't think so. I remember that shit, Todd. If it's titties, I remember it. I can describe the areola on a titty I saw back in 2002. It was Valentine's Day, and yeah, I got a pretty nice titty, about a B cup, I mean, I can recall it, Todd. I'm like photographic buck. I'm like the fucking Rain Man when it comes to titties, Todd.
Now you have a memory.
There you fucking go. You're damn right, Todd. God damn it. I take a mental picture, and I've got that shit with me forever.
Spank bank.
Titties. Spank bank, exactly. Gotta, you know, your old age, you know, you gotta save some of that shit. So, Malibu Express, speaking of titties, this is a 1985 film from writer-director Andy Sidaris, brand spanking new to Blu-ray, for those of you unfamiliar with this film or Andy Sidaris in general, you're in for a treat. Born to a wealthy Texas family, young and good-looking Cody Abilene, played by Darby Hinton, lives on a yacht and considers himself a crack private eye. When hired to investigate a murder, he finds himself entangled in a web of death, intrigue, and beautiful women that leads to a computer company selling secrets to the Russians. Cody will need to team up with Contessa Luciana, played by Sybil Danning, and Officer Beverly McAfee, played by Lori Sutton, to get the bare facts, but there's a volatile mix of Russian goons and lovely girls with dangerous curves ahead. Throw in the Buffingtons, fast cars, and imagine the ride you're in on for the Malibu Express. All right, so I do actually have to correct myself. We did review 7.
We did.
Very early Sidaris films, so technically we did cover it, but this is probably the start of the true tits and ass era for Sidaris. You get a little in that one too, but yeah, definitely the start of
this is his golden era.
So I guess I should clarify what these films are. Because in general, an Andy Sidaris film is an Andy Sidaris film. It almost has its own classification. These are not softcore porn. I really would not classify it as that. There's tons of tits, a lot of good-looking girls, but I don't think it'd be fair to call this softcore porn.
Can I simplify this?
Yeah.
It's Magnum PI with titties.
There you go. Yes. I think the storylines and the acting, I think it's funnier than Magnum P.I., though.
Well, yes, of course. Although we have Magnum T.A. starring in this one.
Yes. Never got to be NWA champ, but look at them titties.
That's all I can think of the whole fucking time.
This is what happened to him. He became a PI, bought a yacht, took that NWA money, and got some poontang. So, all right, well, Todd, I'll tag you in first. What do you think about Malibu Express, and where does it rank in the Sidaris canon, which we have at least
two more coming.
I'm hoping we get them all.
Oh, yeah, I expect them. Here's my thing. I'm only going to rank out of these two because I think we'll save that for the end, our whole overall of the series, because I'm pretty sure in 6 months we'll have watched them all. So, this film, when I was young, this was like the holy grail of staying up late enough to catch it on and record it. It was just like, it's what my cousins told me about. I had to see it. And when I finally did see it, it did not disappoint. And I think that is when I became a Sybil Danning fan. But overall, they're just fun action, not too serious, a little bit of whodunit. I love how at the end we just kind of sit there and explain everything.
did your mom have to get a second job to support your Kleenex budget because of these films?
Nah. I wasn't that bad.
Like a half a box every time it came on.
Well, maybe.
It was... I spilled the mayonnaise again.
Never.
Anyways, with that image. So this was like over anything, over Emmanuel or Black Emmanuel at the time. It got a lot of play.
I hadn't seen those yet, so I can't really.
Okay.
You know, so.
Was this the titty flick? I hate to say titty flick, though, because, like, I could see women finding these films hilarious. I really could. These are so funny. I'll be honest, this next one we're going to review, I prefer, so I think we differ a little bit, but.
Sounds like it.
You have characters with names like June Knockers and lines. I love when the two Texas chicks, May and Faye, will you investigate our privates? There's some lines. And then we get Todd Luger in the shower. But she ends up kind of being into it.
Well, yeah.
And the movie's so random. We get, like, random rednecks that want to race the guy. And what was it with the harmonica music during the sex scenes? It's like, do her harmonicas make girls want to fuck?
Hell yeah.
Do I need to, like, take a class?
Time to get in those piranha. Harmonica lessons.
Yeah, just, oh God. If I had to say anything, though, like, it's a comedy.
Absolutely.
Is. I mean, these movies are just bust a gut comedies, too. And
bust a what?
Bust a nut and a gut. We even had, like, the Top Gun beach ball goon fight.
Oh yeah.
And it's very, again, talk about un-PC. There's definitely some un-PC stuff going on in here. So you get the occasional slur, and it's a product of its time, so fair warning.
Dan was made very uncomfortable.
We even get the sex hotline. I mean, this movie's so 80s. If you're an 80s, Chris should watch these. I'll even
no.
go that far. I know I'm not going to get into it.
No, you're
Chris
wrong. Just absolutely wrong.
Even he'd have to appreciate how 80s these movies are.
No.
I mean.
You don't know Chris that well, then.
Probably not. But I'm just saying. Again, they're an action film, too. The last 30 minutes, I'd say more of the action kind of kicks
in.
Was this your first Sybil Danning flick you were saying?
That I'm aware of? I'd have to say, yeah.
One that made you recognize her, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if this is before or after The Howling. I don't remember exactly which I saw first.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You still hit it, Todd? Probably only like 70.
I haven't seen her in a while. She's never my favorite.
In terms of like being into her sexually, yeah, I wouldn't say she's anywhere near the top, but I was a big fan of pretty much all of her work, so. Definitely a legend of B cinema. So, what would you rate this one?
Shit. I'm going to give this one a. Because here's the thing, I'm afraid we're going to give them all fives if we don't go. I'm going to give this one a 4.5. I really do like it, but I wouldn't call it the best of the of them all. So, yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Okay, fair enough. I'm a 4 on this one. I don't think it's the best, but it's still It's fucking hilarious, and you've got to see it. That is Malibu Express. We also have another one from also on Blu-ray, I should say. So hopefully at some point you can get rid of your 12-movie Sidaris sets. I have a feeling we're going to get them all from Mill Creek. Another thing, too, these are not expensive Blu-rays, so you'll definitely get these for under $10, which is another big plus, and they poured everything over from the previous releases. Hard Tickets to Hawaii came a couple years later in 1987, also written and directed by Sidaris. This Ain't No Hula. Get ready for the explosive action when four beautiful centerfolds team up with heartthrob Ron Moss in Andy Sidaris's Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Set among the stunning islands of Hawaii, Donna Spear and Hope Marie Carlton star as two undercover federal agents running an inter-island cargo service. After accidentally freeing a killer mutant snake, the duo discovers a cache of diamonds that unleashes a smuggler's henchman after them. Cynthia Brimhall and Patty Duffick co-star and jump to their aid along with Rowdy and Jade for a series of nonstop explosions, car chases, karate fights, and love scenes that will blow you away. All right, I will be damned if this might be the best. Again, I'll reserve judgment on that, but holy shit, this one is like next level. If you're a fan of just wacky, batshit 80s action flicks and you haven't seen this, then you fucking need to. There needs to be a drinking game every time someone says Kemosabe, which is also for Malibu Express. This movie is pure cinematic gold from beginning to end. I mean, this movie, it's an action film. It turns into a fucking killer snake film. When the snake pops up out of the toilet, holy shit. These movies are also beautiful to look at. The scenery, they're not cheap looking movies. And God, they're the dialogue. When that dude just comes up to her and she's like, "You practically raped me last night." It's like, "That was last night. Today is today." Or if brains were bird shit, you'd have a clean cage. This movie is fucking insane, and I love it so much. Oh my God, somebody gets killed with a fucking frisbee. This movie is quotable. This movie is, I would recommend this to almost anyone. I really would. I feel like you'll at least laugh at this movie. And if you're gonna do, I don't even want to say bad movie night, really. I mean, is it a bad movie if you love it as much as I do?
Yes, it's still a bad movie, Dan.
No, all right, but we'll see.
It's a very entertaining movie, but by definition of any criteria of what a good movie is, this is not on the list. But
I would you not argue maybe the funniest action scene in the history of film with the blow-up doll and the skateboarder and the bazooka? You get all of that, a skateboarder, a blow-up doll, and a bazooka in one scene. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, my God. Dude, I love this movie so fucking much.
I can tell.
What do you think? Because I got to put this one quite a bit above Malibu.
See, and I really like Malibu, so.
So do I.
I don't know. I maybe because it's more grounded in reality, I don't know. I think this one's batshit crazy and fun as hell. I think it has a lot to do with I like the Magnum TA in the first one a lot better. And in my opinion, it has the prettier women in the first one.
I don't know if I'd agree with that one.
Well, that's a taste thing, so that's not what I'm going to argue. So I'm saying in my opinion.
Yeah.
So...
I feel like you start getting a little more new, like the Malibu, I think, was all topless, actually. You start getting a little more here. But, again, I don't want to scare anybody away. These movies are not, like, perverted or anything. They're just,
no.
You know, a lot of skin. But
so, honestly, like, the first one, like, that was in the wave of the original Cinemax. I mean, that's where Skinemax was, like, comes from. They had Emmanuel.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say towards the, like, Return to Savage Beach and some of that stuff, that definitely started to get a little more and more. But I don't think any of them were, like, ever got to the point where they were just pure bump and grind.
No.
These are, yeah.
It wasn't like some of, like, say, some of, something was like that.
No, they're not like, this is not like seduction cinema. So if you're concerned that you're going to get this and it's just, lesbians miming, you know, fake scissoring each other, that's not this. So I do want to be very clear. I mean, these would, I guess,
and
qualify as action comedy.
And Dan would have been just as happy with that, too.
Oh, well, I'm never going to complain. I don't know. Actually, though, this is funny. Like, with the movie, like, Hard Ticket to Hawaii, I think there was so much good there that might have distracted a little bit. If we had, like, full-on, like, Magnum's, like, 69ing a chick or something, that I don't know. Might have been a little much. I take it back, though. I would have taken one scene of a chick riding the handlebar mustache. but, yeah. But just one. All right, so here's where I'm going to just go ahead and do it. Again, and I always remind people, reviewing the movies for what they are, I'm not comparing this to The Exorcist or Evil Dead or anything like that. But for what it is, I think Hard Ticket to Hawaii is the shit, and I give it a 5. So there you go. And I stick to that fucking 5, and I own that fucking 5. This movie is a blast. So.
I'm not surprised. While I really enjoy it, I give it a 4. It's well worth checking out.
Okay, we're flipped up. Yeah,
we are. And I kind of knew that going in because you were very up on the other one. But yeah, they're both great fun films. Although Dan can't admit it, I would definitely recommend these to fans of bad or cheesy cinema because they meet all the criteria.
Yeah.
But they are cheesy. Great films. They're super cheap on Blu-ray. They still hold up all these years later. They're just fun films. And like Dan already mentioned, all the extras have been ported over, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And both of them have, each one has its own separate volume of like Andy Serkis Film School. So we get Julie Strain and we get other guests, and her and Andy Sedaris are basically host the thing. Then like he shows like different clips and how putting them all together, which is actually really cool. And the only thing is they're all from his later
Julie.
Stuff. All the clips that we're seeing. I mean, I'd like to see, it'd be very cool to see some of his earlier stuff, like behind the scenes of putting it together. But understandably, that's like probably long gone.
Oh, yeah, no. But, yeah, nah, it makes me sad seeing Julie still with us, but I don't know. Definitely check those out. You'll probably want to get them both if you haven't been introduced to this yet. They're party films. Just invite some friends over and crack some beers, have some nachos. It's fucking, these movies are a blast. And grab 7, too. That movie's a blast, too. Like I said, that one's, I think, 78 or something like that, so kind of a different era, but you can definitely see what Sedaris, was going to kind of, what road he was going to go down with these.
Definitely.
All right. So, I think a fitting main event. Andy Sedaris main events any any show. Some programming notes. If you haven't listened to it yet, I know I don't post it as much because, you know, what is Pretty Woman to a horror group? But we do have our Pretty Woman commentary up. That is hilarious as well. Pugs was on that show, so if you haven't listened yet, pop out your Blu-ray or, you know, grab Pretty Woman on VOD or something. I think it makes the movie much better than it is listening to us. We will not have a new show this coming Wednesday, taking a rare week off, but we will be back. I don't know if Vinegar Syndrome will be after that or
we
no, I
don't
be think quite,
close.
But close. So when we come back, I know we're going to have a ton of reviews and none are coming to me right at this moment, but we've got a lot of stuff, so we'll probably be coming back with a stacked show, so maybe some extra reviews
and,
for you.
And we will be back with our Squared Circle Society on May 16th.
Yes. All right, yeah, May 16th is our return, which I very, very much look forward to that because there's a lot right now that I think will still be just as relevant.
I'm actually glad we had this time off, like, from talking about wrestling because after WrestleMania, I needed that.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. God, there was so much, though, that I had to bitch about. Oh, my God. It's just the last Raw. But, yeah, we'll be back in time for Money in the Bank, I guess. I think that's
– Yes, it's the week before, I believe. That was kind of like what we were kind of planning.
Yeah, good-looking show on paper. We'll be back with that. So we will miss you guys. And that's all I've got. We will see you next – well, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. All right. Well, anything else? Okay. Well, I guess Dan's in a hurry,
yeah.
So I better find out.
I gotta go rub one out now. I got a big list. Pop, see those Maria Olson titties again.
All right. Well, on that note, hug your kids.